Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. It's August 28, 2019, and I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. All right. So we got a couple different things. So first of all, welcome back to school. My goodness, campus is just full of students.
It is booming out there.
It's booming. It's so different than last week. Yes, everyone is here. We're all back, and it's very exciting. So yeah. Shout out to all of you who are starting school. Also, I went on a bike ride this morning, and my travels took me past the North Windham Elementary School, which was very interesting. So usually when I come home, so I did a little out and back to back road, and you know, my little back road time trial. And I came back, and I climbed up Jordan Lane, and I literally couldn't get through because there were cars backed up behind buses. And I didn't know if it was okay, because Jordan Lane's very narrow, you know, approaching the school. You don't realize how narrow it is when there are cars on it, because we're usually going on it when there's no cars on it.
There's never anybody on that road.
Right.
That's why I use that road.
But that's not true.
Until now.
And there's school in session. So it was literally backed up. And I was standing there. I'm like, is it cool to like sneak around the buses? But the buses really, they take up the whole road. And I didn't know if it would be safe to go around them. So, a nice woman who was actually, she was very nice. She rolled down her window and she said, oh, it's going to take a while. I said, I know. And so, you know what I did? I went down the hill and I got off Jordan Road. There's a pullout road, about halfway down that you can get back onto, 203. So I took that road. It was a little crunchy. So I did that and I still got behind cars that were approaching the North Windham School. I'm guessing it was the first day of school because there were a lot of cars and there were parents taking photos of their kids, and so it must have been the first day of school. So there's that. So the other thing today is it is the 56th anniversary of the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King.
It is.
And they were talking about that on other media today. So, and they said that one of the neat things about the I Have a Dream speech is that it was improvised. So that's really cool.
What do you mean improvised?
He wasn't speaking from notes.
Really?
He just spoke. Yeah.
It just came out of his head.
Mm-hmm. I have a dream. So it's a beautiful thing. Mm. And so the other thing the 56th anniversary, of I Have a Dream means another 56th anniversary. That is the anniversary of one of my dear friends, Lori Barnes. It's her birthday today. So, and she's,
yep.
Well, that, I guess I said her
happy birthday.
Age 56, but she is very proud of the fact that she was born on the day that the I Have a Dream speech happened. And so do you know what that means? Because that today is August 28th. It means it's exactly 3 months from my 56th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in 3 months it will be my birthday.
Wow, you're going to be that old?
56, yeah. Yeah, I feel pretty good for 56.
You're a puppy. You're a puppy. You're in great shape for that.
So. So I have a few neat things to talk about today. One of the things I'm going to talk about is fungus. One of the things I want to talk about, I want to touch on CBD because we had a nice CBD experience this weekend. But the first thing I want to talk about is I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I just saw it. The Whole Foods CEO is talking about plant-based meat, the plant-based meat boom. That it's good for the environment, but not necessarily for your health. Isn't that interesting? This is the CEO, John Mackey, of Whole Foods, the CEO of Whole Foods. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's saying that.
Excuse me, very interesting, yes.
That Whole Foods, that it's not that great for your health. So there's, in 2013, Whole Foods gave Beyond Meat its first shot at selling vegan chicken strips at Whole Foods locations. And they launched it. They launched it there, which was interesting. And then in 2014, Beyond Meat developed a Beyond Burger, which was a pseudo beef product. And then Impossible Foods released a soy protein burger. And they're really popular. So it's really interesting that they're really popular. And Beyond Meat. They're making deals with fast food places and, you know, fun food places like TGI Fridays. And so Red Robin and Burger King too. So, so this is interesting. And but he has a critique for it. The ingredients in the plant-based patties include water, pea protein isolate, not a big deal, expeller pressed canola oil, refined coconut oil, rice protein and other natural flavors, apple extract and beet juice for color, and then Impossible Foods. Theirs has water, soy protein concentrate, coconut oil, soy sunflower oil, potato protein, soy, wait for it, leg hemoglobin, a group of protein found in animals and plants and other natural flavors. His issue is that he doesn't think that it's super healthy eating something that's so processed. The ingredients are sort of meh. So if I look at the ingredients, so for the first one, let me see. So the Beyond Meat has expeller pressed canola oil. That's nice, but it's still canola oil. It's not organic. It means it could be GMO. And canola, the issue with canola oil is it's one of those oils that's high in omega-6, and so it can promote inflammation. I'm okay with pea protein. Obviously, health-wise, it's better to eat your protein from a whole food. It's better to eat peas. The thing is, if you're a vegan, it's my opinion that it's difficult to get adequate protein from a vegan diet. And there are vegans who would argue with me. But one of the things I do is if I see a vegan who insists upon being vegan and they want to, they want to continue being a vegan, then I will instruct them to get protein powders. And pea protein isolate is a pretty good one. I like pea protein because it's pretty digestible. It doesn't tend to stimulate allergies. So if you get whey protein, the thing with whey protein as a protein powder, whey protein, if you are not allergic to it, it's very absorbable, and it gets into your body very easily, and it does have branched chain amino acids, so you can build some nice muscle tissue with it. I don't know that pea protein has branched chain amino acids in the same way, but it does have, there is protein in it, and it has amino acids. And it tends to be hypoallergenic because pea protein is not a protein that people have been exposed to over and over during the course of their lives. Then it has refined coconut oil. Coconut oil is better for you when it's not refined. It should be virgin. And the reason that they refine it is because you don't want your meat to taste like coconut. That's why. It's going to have that coconutty taste. So for some people, now I love the taste of coconut and I love the taste of coconut oil. That coconutty, that sort of sweet vanilla-y coconut flavor, I love that. Not everybody likes that. And also, if you're making a savory dish, not everybody wants to have that coconutty flavor in their savory dish. So if your dish is like really full of umami and it's got soy sauce and it's got, a meaty flavor and you're really, bringing out the your cumin and curcumin and turmeric and onions and garlic and stuff, you might not want that coconut flavor in there. And so for this to taste more umami, more savory, they refined the coconut oil. That's why they did that. Rice protein is just easy to get. And then there's natural flavors. And there's apple extract and beet juice extract, which those are fine, And then Impossible Foods Burger has soy protein concentrate. So the only thing with soy protein concentrate, if you are a menopausal woman, that's not a big deal because soy protein concentrate is going to have isoflavones in it. If you eat a lot of soy protein concentrate, expect to have some phytoestrogen happening in your body. So you're going to be stimulating estrogen receptors to an extent. Again, there's coconut oil. Doesn't say whether it's refined or not. If it's not refined, that's all right. Sunflower oil. Sunflower oil is an issue. I love sunflower seeds and, I love the sunflower as a plant. But sunflower oil, again, omega-6, could be inflammatory. Potato protein. That's interesting. Again, but if it's protein that's extracted from potatoes, of course, it's very extracted on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's going to be pretty hypoallergenic. People don't tend to be allergic to potatoes. They tend to have a glycemic issue with potatoes. Then soy leg hemoglobin. That's really interesting. That just sounds strange. And I don't know how the body's going to respond to it. So his issue is that this is highly processed. And then here we have a registered dietitian weighing in that they're not necessarily healthier than beef burgers, but you know, that you're going to get your amino acids and your heme iron. The problem is people who are eating these don't want to eat beef burgers. But if you are okay, if you're trying to just be healthier by eating a little less meat, my opinion is, from a pure health standpoint, this is not the way to go because it's very processed. If you want to make a burger-like substance at home, then it's probably better to just put it together yourself. You could make a burger that you stick together with, you know, you could put in some flax seeds to make it gooey, and then you can put in, you want to mix in some tempeh, you know, grind up some tempeh or tofu, and then put in, you know, different seasonings and flavors and vegetables and beans, and mix it together. That's going to be a better way to go than this. Of course, that's not convenient. So when you're buying a burger, you want as simple ingredients as possible. But, you know, these are not the greatest thing in the world to eat. Like health-wise, if you're not in the camp of beef is never healthy, which I'm not, I think the beef burger is healthier as long as the beef burger is grass-fed. But if you're a vegan, are these okay to eat? You know, if you're going out and you want to grab something, I would say that's probably healthier to eat than deep fried whatever, you know. But, you know, you don't want to necessarily eat it every day. So the other thing that I would be curious about is what the protein content of each of these burgers are, and so what the glycemic value of this is. And so the thing is, what people say is that if you're, you know, if you're going to be a vegan, why are you eating something that's a meat-like substance? If you're craving that taste of umami in meat, maybe you should eat meat. But if you're vegan, you're not going to want to do that. And so really what has to happen is, if you're a vegan and you have that craving and you're really not wanting to eat meat, you have to learn how to cook better. You just have to get some good recipes where you can get that taste for your umami. So it's really interesting that they have that they taste similar to regular meat. If you get a really healthy burger, like they probably sell at Not Only Juice, their burgers are going to be really nice. They're going to have really good ingredients in them. And we haven't tried their burgers. I think I had a beet burger there once and it was really good. And I haven't tried their sweet potato burger, which I would like to do. So if you get those healthier burgers with real ingredients in them, they don't taste like this. They don't taste like pseudo meat. So my opinion is, if you're looking for pseudo meat, you probably want to eat meat. That's what happened to me. I was like craving meat. And I was getting meat substitutes, and then I'm finally like, you know what? I should go back. The thing with animal protein is it is the lowest glycemic thing you can eat. So if you're an old lady like me who has trouble losing weight.
Old lady.
But I'm postmenopausal. And so it's harder to keep your weight down, and it's harder to find glycemic things to eat. And so if you want to eat something that's low glycemic, one of the lowest glycemic things you can eat is animal protein. And the other thing is straight up fat. So that's interesting that it's that John Mackey, who is the CEO of Whole Foods, is like, they might not be the healthiest thing to eat. And, you know, if you go to Whole Foods, they have a meat department. You know, you get your sausages there, you get your grass-fed beef there, you got your you know, healthfully raised, poultry there, all kinds of stuff like that. So it's interesting.
Isn't Burger King doing this?
Yes, Burger King has a vegetarian burger as well that they're promoting. I don't know what the ingredients are in the vegetarian burger in Burger King.
Scares me to think.
Right. So that's interesting. Where I'm weighing in is, if you want to try it, go ahead and try it. If you make a steady diet of it, if you're trying to be a vegan, that would not be the way to do it all the time. If you want to get healthy protein as a vegan, if you're not soy intolerant, look at your tempeh over your tofu. Look at your edamame, your soy nuts, things like that, and look at your beans and nuts and seeds. Mind you, beans in particular, it's very hard to get a lot of protein, you know, to meet protein needs on a vegan diet. And, you know, vegans, of course, would argue with me on that. But in order to get the same amount of protein that you would get in a 4-ounce steak, you would have to eat a lot of beans, like several cups of beans. And they're just too high in carbohydrate. That's the problem that you run into. And then nuts, you're going to run into a calorie and fat situation. Not that the fat is bad for you, because, you know, a certain amount of fat is really good for you. But you still, if you want, fat loss happens in an environment of hormonal balance and caloric restriction. You have to restrict some calories, even if you can probably restrict less calories if you're eating lower glycemic and if you're, you know, driving down towards the ketogenic range, not necessarily being ketogenic, but the lower carb you go, the more likely you are to lose fat. But it has to be, you have to be in a state of hormonal balance when you do it. So that's what we find, that the way to reduce inflammation and reduce weight and reduce and increase your health is to reduce carbohydrates. So, all right. So there was that. So then the other thing that happened is this weekend, we were at the Farm to Fork Fondo in Pennsylvania Dutch Country. And and it was the Floyd's. It's actually the Floyd's of Leadville, Farm to Fork Fondo, Pennsylvania Dutch Country. It was,
yes, it was
directly sponsored by there. And Floyd, being Floyd Landis, who is a former yellow jersey bearer of the Tour de France, he had the yellow jersey, but unfortunately lost it because of a doping issue. But, and so Floyd Landis had been through a lot of things, you know, in his life. He'd been through some hard stuff. And then ultimately what he decided to do. So he's of Mennonite descent, and he grew up in a traditional Mennonite home in Farmingville, Pennsylvania, which is part of the township of East Earl. And I was in East Earl. If you went on the Grand Fondo, it took you to East Earl. And one of the cool things about East Earl is there's a really cool covered bridge there. Weaver's Mill covered bridge. It's gorgeous. I took photos of it. It's nice.
I saw that. Yeah. You texted them over to me.
Yes. So that was a real treat. I didn't know that was going to happen. I rounded a corner. I'm like, oh, a covered bridge. And it was the only covered bridge on the ride.
Well, there's a big ride down there in Pennsylvania, the covered bridge ride.
Yeah.
And they go to all the different covered bridges. It's supposed to be very, very beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's in that same general area, I think.
Right. Yeah. Right. There's a covered bridge ride that's, I don't know if that's the one that starts in Bucks County, because there is one that they do in October, and that's what they do. And I've thought about schlepping down to do it, and I haven't made it because it's usually not at a time of year I could do it. But anyway, right. So the covered bridges were really nice. So anyway, so what Floyd Landis did was, you know, he's trying to give back to the community. And that's what Renegade is all about. They're about giving back to the community, the company that puts on the Farm to Fork Fondos. And so what Floyd is doing is he was concerned about the farming that's going on in Pennsylvania Dutch Country. I guess they're having some financial issues, or they're having...
All farmers have financial issues. The big financial issues that are happening right now happen to be with the current administration because of the blockage of exports, or not the blockage of exports, but the number of crops that usually are exported to China are down right now because China's boycotting us because we're doing...
Because of tariffs.
Big mess. Big political mess. So that's what's going on. So the farmers are
suffering.
Who is it hurting? The people who voted for him. Boom. I'll say it.
Yeah.
But
which is
anyway,
nuts.
There it is.
But it's hurting the Amish too, and I don't think they vote. I don't think they participate in society.
It's not fair to hurt the farmers with politics.
It's silly.
It's like, you know.
So what Floyd Landis did is Floyd Landis decided he was going to start a CBD company, cannabidiol, which is the not non-psychoactive, but it doesn't make you stoned like THC does.
Right.
So he decided to start a CBD company that's aimed at athletes, which is a very clever idea. And he has a line of products that are very interesting. And so they feature CBD in them. And he's got little gummies that he calls gems. And he's got a recovery drink. And he's got a topical cream. And he's got oil that you can take orally. And so he's got this neat line. And he's got bars, too, with CBD in them. And the idea being that CBD will actually help you recover quicker because it's an anti-inflammatory. So that's the neat thing. And so one of the things he's trying to do, he called the Floyd's of Leadville because I guess he was living in Leadville, Colorado, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't live there anymore. He lives in New York, somewhere in New York.
I think he and his wife live in New York.
And
they're, so he commutes.
So he has New York plates on his car.
Right.
And because I saw that. And he apparently is a little girl, too. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that part. Yeah.
And so what he's trying to do is trying to get the Amish farmers to grow hemp, high CBD hemp, so that they have another crop to grow. And then, you know, that's going to help. And of course, the hemp is going to be processed and used locally. And his company's going to support them. So we visited Amish farms. Several of the rest stops were Amish farms. And one of the rest stops, Fisher Farm, which is in, where was Fisher Farm? I think it was in Honeybrook. That's where it was. I went to the rest stop. The rest stop is along the side of a road, and there's a field behind the rest stop. You know, it's a nice overhang, and they were offering nice things to eat. They had wonderful, at that point in the ride, they had watermelon, they had cantaloupe, and it was really great right at that point in the ride. And then they had these little cheese things with phyllo dough. So the phyllo dough was unfortunately gluten, so I didn't eat the phyllo, but I ate the cheese. It was good. So anyway, and there was a really nice lady there who was an artist. And then there was an Amish family there, and with the cutest little kids, and there was a little boy who was fascinated with my bike. And behind the rest stop was a huge field of hemp. My goodness.
It's really great.
And it was fat and healthy, and you should have seen it. It was amazing.
It was growing well. Yeah.
So get this, legal Amish hemp farm.
Yeah.
That just sounds so, I don't know.
It's humorous.
Yes.
In a way, it's very humorous.
What I'm curious about is, will those Amish people use the CBD products from, would they use those things?
It's a natural product.
I don't know what the rules are.
I don't know what the rules are. They must have restrictions at a certain point.
And do Amish people buy, like, packaged food? We know that some Amish people buy ice cream because we saw them in the Strasbourg country store.
Well, let's look at this, too. What is the Amish view on Western medicine?
Right. I'm not sure.
I'm going to look.
There's not, and I think the way it is, it's kind of like Judaism. There's some Amish are more frum than others. Frum is a Jewish word for for how observant you are. I am not terribly frum because I'm sitting here in shorts and a t-shirt, and my arms are uncovered, my legs are uncovered, and I ride a bike. When I ride the bike, I'm wearing shorts and a shirt, and I'm not dressed like a woman. So I'm not super observant. So what does it say?
It says here the Amish religion does not restrict people from seeing modern medical care.
Oh.
For the most part, Amish use local doctors and dentists and will go to specialists and hospitals as determined. The Amish are very cautious health care consumers.
Yeah.
So they do believe in medicine as far as that goes.
That's great.
It also, the Amish approach seeking conventional medical care also takes religion into account. Amish people are more willing to stop interventions earlier and resist invasive therapies than the general population because while they long for healing, they also have a profound respect for God's will. So it's a roll of the dice,
So what would it be like to practice naturopathic medicine in Amish country?
I am curious.
Yeah, I wonder if there are any naturopaths in Amish country. The thing is, Pennsylvania, unfortunately, is a non-licensed state.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I don't think it's a hostile non-licensed state. There are people who...
And how is New Jersey?
Terrible.
No, so that doesn't help. So you can't even cross over the border.
Oh, New Jersey's the worst. Mm. New Jersey is the worst place to practice naturopathic medicine. I'm sorry, New Jersey. It's the worst place to practice naturopathic medicine in the country because it is a hostile, non-licensed jurisdiction, followed closely by Florida. Why? Because it's very simple to see. Huge medical lobby.
get this, the Amish don't pay into Social Security or Medicare, and they don't receive benefits from those plans, and they will be exempt from buying insurance on the health exchanges. Since the Amish don't have health insurance, when serious medical issues arise, they find ways of to pay the costly hospital bills.
Wow.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting.
So
here,
if you have Amish patients, expect to be paid in eggs.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
I would think that would be great.
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with
that. No, me neither.
You know?
That happens to me anyway. Here.
Yeah.
And we don't have any Amish here. Just regular people with chickens. But that would be very interesting. I'm wondering if there's any naturopaths in Lancaster. Well, what we have to look at is who's practicing in Pennsylvania, and is anybody practicing in Amish country?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm looking right here. Alternative remedies and treatments is very common. I have been the beneficiary of an Amish home remedy once or twice. This is from the author. The last time when this person was stricken with fever, aches, or loss of appetite and flu-like symptoms while in Lancaster County.
There's a lot of naturopathic physicians practicing in Pennsylvania.
Get this. So this person guzzled down a concoction that their host made of honey, lemon, pepper, and horseradish. Next step, crash in the recliner next to the steady heat of the wood stove and conk out for a few hours.
So there's a bunch of naturopaths practicing that are in, they're certainly in range of Amish country. So Natural Paths to Wellness is looks like it's outside of Hershey. And then Brian Freeman is also outside of Hershey. Ann Lee, John Mulliken is down near Hanover. Michael Reese, he's in Ephrata. So there's definitely naturopaths that are practicing. They probably see Amish people.
Big on home birth, you know, definitely midwifery is a big deal down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
So there's definitely naturopaths practicing in Amish country. So I would want to, that would be fun to interview them. Here's Bright Health and Wellness in Plymouth Meeting. So there's a whole bunch of them. Henriette Alban in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's Brian Freeman is in New Cumberland. Then there's, you know, there's people like in Philly and stuff. But then Ann Lee is in Lancaster. So that would be yes. So that's interesting. There's a lot of naturopaths that are clustered in Amish country.
And they're probably cash.
Well, in Amish country, the thing is what I'm seeing here is that now here's Trillium. Then there's more. The further west you go, there's more. There's a lot of naturopaths practicing in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. On the other hand, because it's a non-hostile, non-licensed jurisdiction. Now, if you look at Jersey, there's a handful. There's not none.
Yeah.
So here's somebody. Here's somebody in Nutley. There's somebody in Bedminster.
Yeah.
Woodridge, Clifton, Lebanon, Ramsey. They're up north mostly.
Yeah.
Somerset, Union City. So they're people.
And they're
practicing.
Probably just they don't accept insurance, but they can still practice there apparently, right?
Most of them, yeah. Most
How's
of
that
them,
work?
Right. You pay out of pocket
because you're not licensed.
There's really
and
not,
you're not
a lot of them.
You're not really. There's no regulation over you.
That's right. So you get paid. I practiced in two non-licensed jurisdictions. I practiced in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, so it's a cash practice.
Yeah,
that's
but there's no restrictions at all, as far as government restrictions.
Well, you can't practice medicine without a license. You have to watch out that you don't get caught practicing. So the thing that happens to naturopathic physicians in New Jersey is they have to be really careful because the problem with practicing in a non-licensed jurisdiction is you're not regulated. You can't call yourself a physician. You can't call yourself, you can say you're a naturopathic doctor because your degree is a doctorate. But you can't say that you're a physician because physician is limited to people who are licensed physicians. And there's some states you can't use the term, naturopaths can't use the term physician. In Connecticut, we can. We're allowed to say physician. I'm pretty sure that New Hampshire, where they have pretty good laws, it's the New Hampshire Association of Naturopathic Doctors.
Really?
They're enjoined from using the word physician. Yep. Yeah, so the New Hampshire Medical Society probably doesn't let them use it. That's how that happens. So what you do in a non-licensed jurisdiction is you make sure you're not doing things that really only MDs are supposed to do, or osteopaths. So you can't prescribe, of course. You're probably limited as to what labs you can order.
Right.
Yeah, you probably can't order from like Quest Diagnostics. You might be able to order from, labs that cater to naturopaths like Genova and stuff like that. I don't know. They wouldn't stop you as long as the state didn't stop you. Now, if you go to New York, New York has some really restrictive laws about what labs you can use. And New York is also a non-licensed jurisdiction. New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey are non-licensed. And probably the reason for that is because they have huge medical lobbies. New Jersey's, and like I said, New Jersey's the worst because New Jersey has a very concentrated population. When you look at Pennsylvania and New York, Pennsylvania has Greater Philly, which is a huge metropolis, and New York, of course, has New York City, which is, a huge metropolis. And so they have very powerful medical lobbies concentrated right there. But then Pennsylvania and New York have these enormous states that are like almost like the Midwest, when you get out of greater New York and greater Philadelphia, in those states, you have huge states that are occasionally dotted by bigger cities like Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. And then, of course, you got your Syracuse and your Ithaca. Those are not huge places. They're not as big as, and you got your Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. But they're not Philadelphia, and they're not New York City. So you have these enormous states that are very rural. So in those areas, there's not going to be as much scrutiny. New Jersey, the entire state of New Jersey is pretty much suburban New York and Philadelphia, the whole state. And it's the most densely populated state in the nation. There's tons of people there. What's really sad about New Jersey not being licensed is that there's enormous population there. They're educated, they have money, and they're definitely interested in natural medicine. And they're enjoined from, there's a few naturopaths, but you can't, get like a naturopathic physician can't practice in New Jersey, and the doctors chase after them to try to shut them down.
Here's the reason why. The combined statistical area as of 2016 of New York, New Jersey, and Eastern PA.
Yes.
23.7 million people.
Yeah.
So when you got 23.7 million people, you've got big insurance lobbies.
Yes.
And that's
right.
They're blocking it.
Because, that's right.
Whereas, you're looking at Connecticut, and we have, 3.5 million people. So yeah, it's not that big a deal.
We also have had a law since 1923, which thank goodness has not been overturned. It hasn't been modernized, but it hasn't been overturned either.
Exactly.
And we don't have one. I mean, you can sort of say that Fairfield County is greater New York, but we don't have a standout major city in the same way. I mean, you can't say Stamford or Hartford, or they're not standout cities like Philadelphia and New York. They just don't have the same feel as those places.
Right.
Nothing against you. God love you, Hartford and Bridgeport. And
Yeah, but they. Yeah, well, but those are three troubled cities.
We have a strange situation in Connecticut.
We have a have and have not in Connecticut.
Yeah, we have that.
It's pretty prominent.
Connecticut kind of has an identity problem.
Well, there's that too.
Yeah.
I would say definitely.
Whereas when you think of New Hampshire, you think of the White Mountains, you think of Vermont, you think of cheese, and you think of the Green Mountains, and you think of both of those as great places to go to vacation. Maine, same thing. You think of Maine as, a great place to go on vacation. So tourism in those states is pretty incredible. Rhode Island, now Rhode Island all of a sudden has Providence, and Providence is a very cool city.
Well, yeah, it has a nice shore. It has good beaches.
It has really nice shoreline. Right. Yeah, Connecticut has an okay shoreline.
It's too much of it is private.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Too much of it is private. That's why, because it belongs to elite expensive homes. And,
yes.
Well,
some of it. And then
Some of it does, but name the Connecticut state beaches.
Hammonasset.
Okay.
Rocky Neck.
Okay.
I can't name them because I don't know. I know the ones I've been to.
You just picked two. Yes. Then there's a Groton Long Point. There's a public beach in Groton. There's Niantic has a beach.
Yes, yes.
If you go deep into Fairfield County, you've got to go all the way to that island, Sherwood Island.
Bluff Point.
I don't think there's anything. You know, it's just, it's real sketchy. I know that there's a little beach in West Haven. You know, there's little beaches, town beaches, but there's not big state beaches.
Oh, all right. But Rhode Island.
Because there's a lot of private land that owns the beaches.
I see. And Rhode Island has a nice shoreline.
And Rhode Island has a long, and I think they preserved that for, you know, they paid attention to preserving that. But
yeah,
I may be wrong, but that's my overview of it anyway.
Yeah. Right. So it's interesting. Mm. So the whole deal was, so this really interesting thing. So we saw this incredible field of hemp, and it was really beautiful, healthy plants. So the deal is, this company is supporting, it's supporting the use of CBD as a post-exercise workout supplement. It's very interesting. And CBD, I know for me that the CBD seems to work, that if I want to relax and I want to be a little bit calmer, because, you know, I'm pretty hyped up. I'm a very busy person. I'm always involved in something, and I'm exercising most days, almost every day of the week. I do some kind of exercise. And you know, and so having some CBD on board to reduce the inflammation from exercise and to help with recovery is kind of a nice thing. I also am finding that the CBD it's helping. I have some level of anxiety, and it certainly, you know, genetically I'm prone to it because, you know, everyone in my immediate family has some level of that. And so I'm finding for me that CBD is helpful for that, and I'm doing it in a little bit higher doses than I had been doing previously. So I'm doing it in the problem is that CBD is not cheap, and I thought that CBD was not cheap because it's new and people are finding difficult ways because it's so new, people are taking advantage of it, and so they're charging a lot for it. But my understanding is it's not quite that way. It's actually costly to extract CBD from the cannabis plant, and that's why you have to use a lot of plants to get a little bit of CBD. That's part of why it's expensive. And so, you know, the higher the potency of the product that you're buying, the more expensive it's going to be. If you go to the gas station, because there are gas stations that sell CBD products, you have to be careful as to how pure it is, because I had an experience when I went to a gas station and the very nice man there saw me scrutinizing the CBD products that they had, and they were like strange. There was no Floyd's of Leadville there. But they had these strange brands, and they had all these funny flavors, that the same kinds of flavors you would see for your vape. So there'd be like cotton candy and caramel blast and, you know, chocolate fun and vanilla yum yum or whatever. And so the nice man was giving me samples to try. He said, here, try this flavor. Here, try this flavor. And the flavors were kind of yummy. I mean, it tastes a little fake, but they were good. And one, like, I remember there was a bubble gum and a fruit punch and a caramel. So I had a little sample of each of them. And before too long, I started to feel like maybe I was a little stoned. So that said to me that in this product, there was probably some THC. So you have to be careful when you buy CBD products. If you don't get them from a good source, there may in fact be some THC in the product. But if you get it from the health food store and you get it from a good nutraceutical store, so if you get it from Floyd's of Leadville, there's not going to be any THC in it. And, you know, the thing about CBD is CBD is generally legal in all over the United States, where THC is regulated in various ways in various states. So I've been doing a bit of CBD. And like I said, I've been finding that everybody's different in terms of what dose of CBD they're going to use. And you're not, you don't know how you're going to respond to it. And as with everything, less is more. So you want to use the lowest effective dose. It's not like if you take 35 milligrams, it's good, and 50 milligrams is going to be better. That there's going to be, and there's always a level off that's like if you get to a certain dose, you hit your optimal dose, and if you take any more, you're not going to get any better. And in fact, you might have some side effects. And I wonder if I took enough CBD, if I would get groggy. I don't know. I think it's helping me sleep better.
Yeah, so do you really?
Yeah, I do. Hmm. And I think, and the other thing I really think is going on, now it's a funny experiment because right now, along with the CBD, I'm taking theanine and I'm taking fish oil and magnesium, all things which can calm you down. So those can be helpful. But I'm really wondering, because I was taking that combination of things before, but not with the amount of CBD I'm taking. And one of the cool things I think the CBD is doing for me, and it's like it's just such a bummer because it's like, you know, I should be able to, I feel like I should be able to meditate or bike ride this away. And I ride my bike so much, you would think that all that bike riding would level out the level of anxiety I have, because you know, you'll hear me whining about this, that, and the other thing, upsetting relationships, upsetting things at work. And
no, I never hear any of that.
What I'm finding is that as I've been taking the CBD, I'm more in the moment. I'm able to enjoy my life right where it is. In fact, I had a really busy day at work yesterday. I had 10 patients, which for me is a lot. Several of them were new patients. A number of them were challenging. God love you. And I had a really good day. I just went from patient to patient to patient. I didn't worry too much about it. I mostly stayed on time. I didn't get too over time, and I didn't get too rattled. It was very interesting.
Hmm.
And I had a huge stack. I got home way too late last night. Part of why I got
noticed
home,
that.
Well, I had so many patients, and after I was done, I just didn't feel like dealing with the stack right away. So one of the things I do is I talk to Amy.
Oh, okay.
So Amy will let me talk to her. She's, yeah. I really appreciate Amy because she has to listen to me prattle on.
I know. She listened to me at the co-op the other night, too.
Yeah, she's we had a little listener. Chat. Yeah.
We had a little chat.
So what I'm finding is that the CBD is sort of that brain noise that I have, that where my brain won't quit. It's really helping with that.
Mm.
And the level, and for me, now I'm a roughly 150-pound, 5'3" person who exercises a lot. I'm finding where I'm at dose-wise, where I'm in the 20s and 30s for the day.
Mm.
So we're not talking like 3 milligrams, 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams. For me, it's like 20s and 30s. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
And that's not so cheap, but it's not so expensive. And the other thing I find is
some people drink.
I have. Oh, I know. Well, but the thing with
that's a lot more expensive.
Well, yes,
if you
and
look,
no.
Well, you know.
And then the problem with alcohol, of course, if you're comparing alcohol to that, I don't do well with alcohol. I've got, you know, Jewish enzymes, which means not a lot of them. And so I'm a cheap date.
You're a big time cheap date.
And I don't feel that good. I don't feel good after I drink alcohol. You know, I feel good when I'm drinking a little bit of it. I get cheery and uninhibited like everyone else. But my window of opportunity is so my therapy
very
window,
narrow.
Very narrow, exactly. And you know, the my window of having my signal to noise of having fun. To crossing the threshold to praying to the porcelain goddess, it's just not that far. It doesn't make it fun.
Mm.
So, but with cannabis, it's not that way. I mean,
right.
I think the worst thing that would happen to me is if I took too much CBD, I would get groggy. And that's what I'm trying to pay attention to. If I take enough, is it going to make me feel a little sluggish? But it's definitely, you know, chilling out that noise so I can be present and in the moment and I can enjoy my life more. It's really nice.
Well, three cheers for CBD.
I know.
I
right?
like it. Sounds
so,
good to me.
So here's the other thing. Let's talk about gummies.
Gummies.
Let's talk about the gummy craze.
Right.
So the thing is, first of all, I am a person who, as far as candy goes, you're more of a chocolate. Like if you want to eat candy, you want to eat chocolate, right?
That's what I want.
And you like bars. You'll eat bars if they taste good, if they're peanut butter, and especially if they have chocolate in it.
They're okay, as long as they have chocolate in them.
But chocolate is your favorite candy. I love chocolate as well, and I'm in the and I have various chocolates. Sometimes I'm in the mood for a dumb old Hershey bar, especially because we're right near Hershey, Pennsylvania this weekend.
Mm.
Sometimes I'm in the mood for really high quality chocolate, and then there are certain chocolates that are sort of in between, but they have a really great mouthfeel. So sometimes I'm in the mood for Lake Champlain, sometimes in the mood for Charles River, and sometimes I'm in the mood for Tony's Chocolonely. That's one of my favorites now because it's the Tony's Chocolonely is fairly produced and traded, and they have a mission of having slave free chocolate. So I enjoy the Tony's Chocolonely, and their price point's pretty good too. Also, Icelandic chocolate that you can get at the health food store, that's really good. The other thing I really like, which you don't care that much about, I like chewy fruity. Although you do like the Trader Joe's fruit gems, you like those.
They're okay. Yeah.
But
it's not
my
first choice.
I love the. I know. So the texture has to be right, and the fruitiness has to be right. Of course, I prefer them if they have natural fruit flavors in them over fake ones. I like those fruit snacks, and I like the right kind of the right texture of gummy things. I like gourmet fruit slices. You know, the little fruity things that are covered in sugar.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that as a candy. The gummy craze is a big deal in the health industry. So, you know, you can get gummy anything.
They have vitamins now.
Gummy, absolutely.
And, yeah, all different things.
We can get them. We get gummies. So we have the way it's presented, they're actually like gummy candies, like gumdrop kind of candies. And also like a Starburst, the same texture as a Starburst. So I have curcumin chews that are like a Starburst, but they're curcumin and they're fruit flavored, so they don't really taste like curcumin. They just taste like whatever fruit they're flavored with. But they're little turmeric colored squares that are chewy. So what I found with those, what I have Amy do is she sets up bottles of these things and for us to all have. I tell her, you go ahead and, you know, set them up and we'll all snack on them. And so right now we've got a bottle of CoQ10 going, a gummy CoQ10, gummy vitamin C, gummy vitamin D, and these curcumin chews all sitting in the back. And so we all snack on them. And what I find with those things is because they're in that gummy format, I'm very likely to have one. So on the one hand, unfortunately, they're covered with sugar. Some of them are covered with sugar. Some of them are sweetened with xylitol. So mind you, Floyd's has what he calls the gems.
Right.
And they're a really nice texture, and I'm very attracted to them. And you can buy them in, you know, bike shops.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is the only place that's selling Floyd's right now locally is the Fast Marts.
Really?
Nowhere else.
Hmm.
So
I'll
so
have
that's
a chat
very
with local bike shops. No, I won't. Because you can get them at your
maybe
establishment, probably.
We're thinking about what to do around that.
Mm.
But Fast Mart, you know where the nearest Fast Mart is?
Probably Manchester or someplace.
No,
like that.
No, it's the Valero at the corner of 32 and Wyndham. What is that called? Wyndham Center Road?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the Valero by, you know, right off of Route 203 on Route 32.
Yep.
That's
I know
where
you mean.
So I'm going to go there and I'm going to see what they have.
Hmm.
But the Fast Marts everywhere are selling it. It's really crazy. And that's it in this area.
Well,
anyway,
you should get a hold of Floyd's and see what they'll do.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm finding that if the gummies are sitting there, I'm likely to take them. So if you want to take a supplement, the advantage of a gummy is you're attracted to them. If you like to eat gummy candy, you'll be more likely to take one. And you can deliver a significant amount of CBD in a gummy. So you can get 25, 35, 50 milligrams into one easy-to-chew gummy. There are other supplements that it's not so easy to get a lot of stuff in. So when you're taking a gummy multivitamin, when you're taking a gummy fish oil, when gummy multivitamins, gummy fish oil, it's hard to get a lot of stuff into one gummy. So the trade-off is you'll enjoy taking the gummy, but your doses are not going to be high.
Mm.
CoQ10, on the other hand, very easy to get a significant amount of CoQ10 into one gummy. We've got 100 milligram CoQ10 and vitamin D as well, because vitamin D takes up so little space. It's a hormone, so you can get a lot of vitamin D into a gummy.
So what about, I mean, it's a gummy, it's candy.
Yes.
What about overuse?
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, depending on what you're taking, you have to. So people,
because you
can,
know how you start with a little one.
That's
of these
right.
Things.
You
and
have
then you,
to.
Oh, I'll take another one.
You
and
have
then.
To discipline yourself,
yeah,
because
no
you're taking, because it's a vitamin. You have to tell yourself, listen, this is very enjoyable to take, but it's a vitamin. You can't just eat it like it's candy.
Right.
You have, but on the other hand, because it's sitting there and it's a gummy, you're more likely to take it. So I'm of two minds about the gummy thing, because they are candy and there is a sugar issue. Mm-hmm. And you can deal with the sugar issue by drinking some water right after and swishing your mouth. But compliance is really good with the gummies. And quite honestly, CBD is one of those things. You can fit a lot of CBD into one gummy, like a significant amount, enough to, for me, Fran, to have this nice effect of reducing my inflammation, improving my recovery, and taking out my brain noise. I can take one gummy in a day, and that'll do that all that for me. Because CBD, the CBD molecule is small. It doesn't take up a lot of space. And in the gummy, you're going to have to put a little, because CBD is fatty. And so that's why you get CBD oil. You don't get CBD tincture.
Okay.
You get it that it's fat soluble. So you can put fat into the gummy. Same with CoQ10. CoQ10 is better if it's in some fat.
Right.
And so you can.
Because it's fish oil.
And it doesn't take up a lot of space. No, it's not fish oil.
It's not fish oil.
No. No, CoQ10 is not extracted from fish. Mostly it's synthesized.
Is it?
Yeah, when you get it's one company, Kanika in Japan. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just doesn't. It's a small molecule. It doesn't take up a lot of space, so you can fit a lot of CoQ10 into a gummy. But so my dilemma is: on the one hand, you're asking people to eat candy. On the other hand, your compliance is very good, because if you see this little blackberry flavored gummy for your vitamin D, you're going to take it.
Right.
That's what I'm finding. So you know if. You find that you are more compliant when you take a gummy for your supplement. Some things are better than others. CBD is good. CoQ10 is good. A little bit of vitamin C. Vitamin C, you can't fit a lot of vitamin C into one gummy, but a fairly significant amount. Mm-hmm. Multivitamins, you can't fit a lot of multivitamin into a gummy, and you can't fit a lot of fish oil into a gummy. So those things, it's really better if you take in another format if you want to get a potent product. But if it increases, and CBD, absolutely. If it increases your compliance, I would go with it. So I'm going to experiment a little bit more with the CBD, and I'll report back, because I thought it was very interesting.
Maybe we should bring Jerry back on.
I'm definitely thinking it's reducing inflammation, and I'm definitely thinking that it's helping me specifically with anxiety. So I'm excited about that.
Yay.
So I'm going to go now.
Cool.
All right. So you have been listening to 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. I am Fran Storch. This has been Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.